Zombie takeout is necessary, Pamela. It is good. What's up? Welcome to episode 189 of
Zombie Takeout,
the B Movie and Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, instead of the usual listener submitted, well, because we don't have any, and news, we're going to go with our top 10 of the year and our bottom 5 of the year, because that's us.
You know, 10, bottom sir. 5.
No, I said top 10 and bottom 5, didn't I?
Yeah, just the joke was, I guess it was an inside joke because I thought it was top five.
Oh, yes, yes, bit of an inside joke.
We had to frantically get the rest of my top 10.
Yeah. Might put some of that in the outtake if we don't have something better. All right, so how do we want to do this? We didn't talk about that. Alternate or go through our list individually?
That's a good question. Alternate, I guess?
All right, I'll start. My number 10 for the year, Old Boy. I think mostly because I hadn't seen it before. I think if that ending had surprised me when I watched it for the show, it would have been much higher.
And of course, my 10, The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you got to give respect to Gilliam.
Yeah. I'm glad that we're doing a top 10 or he would not have made the list.
Mm. Number 9, I got Moon. Again, I'd seen it before, so it went a bit lower. Didn't quite have the rewatch ability.
2013 will be one of the things I'll remember about this year is the year that I discovered Firefly, and mm-hmm. Number 9 is Serenity. Not as good as the series, mm-hmm. but still yeah. damn good.
My number 8 is Serenity, possibly because I've been a brown coat since it was on Fox.
And my number 8, retreading here, Moon.
Mm-hmm. Just interesting.
Yeah.
Number 7, I have Raising Arizona.
Nice. I expect that a little higher on mine, mm-hmm. of course.
Of course, come on.
7, I got Old Boy.
Okay.
It would have, I don't know. It's one of the, it has such an emotional impact on me. I don't know if I'd watch that again. It's yeah. one of those, you know.
That's how I feel about Black Rainbow. It's, you know, I greatly respect it, but I'll probably never watch it again.
Not quite as uncomfortable as Black Rainbow, though.
True. Well, until that ending, it's.
Oh, it's all about the ending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Number 6, I have Waiting for Guffman. And, well, it's an example of, like I said in the episode, I love guests' movies when I'm watching them, but I never remember how good they are. You know.
And my number 6, this is going to be the surprise here. Okay. If we were doing a top 5, this would have been a stunner. But I'm going with Upstream Color.
Mm-hmm. I had a feeling when you said surprise.
For number 6. Yeah, this is also the year, of course, mm-hmm. we were introduced to Mr. Carruth.
Thank you, Trailer Clash, for that. I found out about him when they reviewed the trailer for Upstream. And I'd heard about Primer for years and heard how great it was, and I'd noticed it on Netflix. But hearing Roberto go on about it in that episode, it pushed me to watch it, finally, and y'all know the rest. Gotta yeah. give them a proper plug. Trailer Clash, the Movie Trailers Podcast, trailerclash.com. They've been plugging us for the last couple weeks, so just need to return the favor.
Just nice people, and I vow to try to catch up on as many episodes over the break mm-hmm. as possible of them, since I won't be listening to us.
And you'll have a good laugh in a recent episode where they plugged my anime show and Roberto gave the wrong name. All right, number 5, I have Thanksgiving 3. The original Thanksgiving is my yearly Thanksgiving movie, so of course the sequel had to be in the top 5.
And I would have given it an honorable mention here. It's it was pretty close. It was mm-hmm. there was that, and there was another one. I can't remember what I was debating on throwing it into the list when we were scrambling to make it into a top 10.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was the Mad Max movie. No, it wasn't
Road
Mad
Warrior was
Max
one of them
either.
you were considering.
It wasn't Road Warrior. It was you were left off again. I'm sorry, whatever you were. My number five is Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead. A fantastic script. Maybe a little too weird to take the top spot, but yeah, definitely worthy of the top five.
I think my top four prove that I like weird. Number four being John Malkovich.
My number four as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, wow, what are the odds? We finally found one where we agree on the rank.
Completely agree on, yeah.
I think there'll be a second one too up ahead.
Okay. Well, actually, no, from what we've talked about. But anyway, number three, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. If for nothing else, the game of questions, probably my favorite scene ever committed to film.
And I think the deal with a lot of these over Rosencrantz and Upstream are just how many times I've seen them. Although my number two, I haven't seen that many times, but Raising Arizona, number three, it's a movie that I feel I've almost patterned my life after subconsciously.
Interesting. All right, my number two is, well, it's my second favorite movie of all time. This isn't going to surprise anybody. Primer.
Wow, Primer number two, huh? And my number two, Waiting for Guffman, such fucking fantastic lines, Eugene Levy's lazy eye, and of course, you. How many times, I don't know, I've said this line where I've just been disappointed with a bunch of fuckers,
Bastard
you
people.
bastard people.
And my number one for the year, and my number one of all time. Again, the great Shanker Ruth, Upstream Color. It was just, it said so much in such an original way.
Yeah, the reason why I took it out of my five was because I realized I've only seen it once. I mean, I've wanted to see it again, but I haven't gotten around to it. So
Think I'm up to five.
I had to give these other five the nod because, of course, my number one, the movie that I have seen, I don't know how many times this year, I've lost track of, and that is, of course, Primer.
Yeah, I'm up to six for that one. That's another thing I have to do over the break is watch Upstream one more time just to even it out.
I need to watch it too. I need to introduce Mrs. Scudder to Upstream. She's yet to see it.
Oh. And unfortunately, that brings us to our bottom five of the year.
Have a couple of dishonorable mentions before I
Okay.
start my Six String Samurai and Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay. So yeah, you kick this one off since I kicked off the top.
And then number five, Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park.
Ah, okay. My number five is actually one of your honorable mentions, Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, it's worthy. Yeah.
The Jeremy Irons scenes were good,
He kept it
but
off the bottom.
see, they weren't quite enough for me. I'm just going by the ratings. So it's at number five.
And then I just lost. Oh, number four, Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
Same here. Number four again. We agree on number four on both
That's
lists.
very weird.
Yeah, it is.
Number three. A movie that probably almost made your top 10, Troll Hunter.
No, it wasn't quite, but yeah, I like it more than
It
much
was
more than you.
close. It was you gave it a four, I think, right?
I possibly did, yeah. I
Yeah.
will say again, watch it
I don't know if I could bring myself to do that. What's your
subtitled.
number three?
And my number three is Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park.
Ooh,
Yeah,
that's pretty shitty.
it really was only entertaining for the facepalm value.
Wait a minute, Carrot Top didn't even make your bottom five?
Well, I'm not done yet.
Okay, I'm shocked. Well, I know what your bottom one is.
Yeah. Well, I got one in between the two. We're
Oh,
up to two.
my bad. My number two is Lunopolis.
Yeah, I got a my bad on that one.
I'd almost forgotten about it
Yeah.
until I was going over the list. I'm like, ooh, yeah, that was a shitty movie.
It seemed a lot better the first time, watching it for the show and talking about it. Yeah, it was kind of crap.
Like Troll Hunter was going to be my number two, but Lunopolis was so bad that I'd forgotten about it even. It was erased from my memory.
My number two actually is Chairman of the Board.
Okay. All is right with the world again. Because I was kind of wondering, I was like, wait a minute.
Just to mention Trailer Clash again, Roberto posted on Facebook a trailer for something, I forget what it was, but he said, "I've discovered anti-laughter." And all I thought was, I discovered it with Chairman of the Board.
Yes, definitely. I can't remember the last time I watched a comedy where I've laughed so little, if at all, even.
Number one?
Yes, that is my number one.
Oh, Chairman is your number one. Okay.
Yes. The absolute worst movie I've seen in a long time.
I gotta go with Cockfighter. It's rare for me to say this. It was a waste of my life. And I reserve that. I mean, I don't think I would even say that about Crossroads. Because at least Crossroads had redeeming value, if only for the scene with Britney Spears dancing around in her underwear. It's a close second with Showgirls for me. I mean, and y'all know how much I hate Showgirls. I feel like I lost a bit of my soul watching Cockfighter.
Oddly enough, you don't mention Airbender in the worst, and that's the lowest rated movie you've ever had.
Well, that was Nerd Rage. Objectively, and I had to think about this when I was working out the list. If I look at Airbender objectively, there are a couple of really good performances, and it was pretty, and it would have gotten a 1.5 if it wasn't for the Nerd Rage.
I think what I've learned from this, I'm too generous with my ratings because even Chairman got a brain.
Wow, you're too generous. That makes tonight interesting.
I think it got a, I mean, I gave Chairman a full brain. I don't know if I should have.
Can't wait to see what you're going to give this week's movie.
And yeah, but the difference is this week's movie, I laughed.
And speaking of which, on to this week's movie, which is from 1984, Silent Night, Deadly Night. And of course, the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by 80s montages, much scarier than any horror movie.
And also brought to you by bullets, because they don't make some sort of wound exiting the body.
They exit the body? I've never seen that.
I know, so strange. If you only watch this movie, that you wouldn't think. But okay, so we have a young family on Christmas Eve going to visit their father in the their grandfather in the nursing home. He's pretty much catatonic
Or so we think.
until the parents leave the room and he starts getting freaky with his grandson.
No, please clarify that.
Well, he's
Because that could mean something much, much worse.
yeah, I'm gonna come out and say this right now. I really wish this is a great Misty movie.
Oh, yeah.
And seeing it without anybody around was kind of frustrating last night. But okay, and why I said that, you go to the nursing home, and the grandfather pretty much looks like Saddam Hussein.
Okay, yeah.
But then when he starts talking like Fire Marshal Bill, that old Jim Carrey character.
Yeah, very much.
But he's talking about Santa Claus and how shitty he is and how terrible he is to the little boy.
Right.
Hence freaky.
Okay, yeah. I just
And then
wanted
when
to
the
make sure there wasn't an implication there.
well, we weren't watching that kind of movie. Or wait a minute, were we?
Well, there
I
was that
don't know.
spanking scene.
There were a lot of scenes like that. Anyway, so then when the parents come back, he goes back to being catatonic again. So you start believing that there's something supernatural at play here.
Or the old man just wants to be in the home because he gets free room and board and meals and all that.
I don't know. That's reading way too much into that. But anyway,
That's how I understood it, but anyway.
it then moves to a Santa Claus, a guy in a Santa suit, knocking over a liquor store and pretty much killing the guy. Well, the guy does pull a gun back on him, but he pretty much, unnecessarily shoots away for 30 something dollars in the end. He then pretends that his car's broken down, back to the young family driving back, and he shoots the father. And then he starts to, in what could very well be the most passionless rape scene ever
Well,
filmed.
that was the confusing part, because he gets her on the ground, gets on top of her, pulls her shirt open. You think he's gonna rape her,
Yeah.
and then he just slits her throat.
Right. And all this happens in front of the boy, who, of course, would be traumatized, and you would think that people would cut a break. But he's in, they flash forward a year later. He is in the orphanage with these nuns, and the Mother Superior is very, very stern with him and pretty much forces him to celebrate Christmas, whether his aversion to this for some reason or not. And then and of course he also sees a group of a couple of young kids fucking, and he gets punished for that because he left the room because the other nun told him that he could leave the room. If you're kind of following along with this so far, you're doing a much better job than I am here. All right, so we then flash forward to 10 years later, which is of course present day for the film. He's a young man, and the young nun has applied some fantastic age makeup because she's 10 years older. Get it? She gets him a job. If you met an alcoholic and you got him to work at a bar or liquor store, fine. If you met a Holocaust survivor and forced to watch the History Channel marathon, you'd be getting warmer. No, kid that has an aversion to Christmas, you make work at a toy store before Christmas. He winds up by dumb luck being forced to play Santa Claus, and gets drunk and gets pushed over the edge, where he goes on a killing spree of that had a certain logic to it.
Yeah, up until the end.
And hilarity ensues. And by the way, that is the funniest damn line in this movie. His killing spree, well, at least at that point, had been as random as fucking hell. Like the point where he left the toy store.
Well, he did. He was attacking people who were naughty, as he put it. In as he defined it, how he found them is a little debatable.
Exactly.
But they
How
did.
did he find this couple?
But they did fit the profile.
He finds this couple that he kills as his first victim after the toy store massacre. And he finds this random couple who are, of course, fucking. Probably the oldest high school couple in the world. Like they're 30-year-old high school students or something. And after that, they said, yeah, everything he's been doing has had a certain logic to it. I fucking lost it.
And in the earlier scene, when he peeps on the couple in the orphanage, he not only has a fear of Santa, he apparently has a fear of breasts as well. Because they focus on her, the girl's breasts, and then they go to the flashback of his mother's shirt being ripped open, and they go back and forth between the two, and apparently he's also developed a fear of breasts.
Right. Well, he's remembering back to when he saw his mom's.
And I can
No
understand that being
reason.
traumatic. Now, just rolling back to the beginning of the film,
Okay.
it starts off with this wreath coming toward the camera, and then, and it's, animated. It kind of spurts blood. This may have been scary in '84. Now it just looks like a trauma movie.
Oh my God. My notes, I think it said, this looks hilarious, and I'm only at the credits.
And then we have the, and at first it was interesting, the avant-garde theme music and the score in
No.
general. It's very avant-garde.
No, the score was not interesting at the beginning.
At first I thought it was, particularly for theme music. You don't normally hear something that unusual.
Yes, you do. If you watch The Shining, which was five, four, five, 6 years before this, he fucking lifted it almost bar for bar.
It's been way too long since I've seen it. Also, the grandfather was one of the creepiest performances I've ever seen.
And did they use the same exterior building for the home as they did for the
I
orphanage?
think it may have been.
It looks so pretty suspicious there.
Now, and I'm going to go a little out of order here because I have two
Okay.
particular nitpicks. Yes, I'm nitpicking this one a little bit for physics.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Okay, there's a scene in which young Billy in the orphanage, maybe 10 years old, forced to sit on Santa's lap,
Yeah.
jumps out of his lap when he gets free, decks Santa, knocks him out of the chair. How is a 10-year-old kid going to put a pun enough force behind a punch to knock a grown man out of a chair?
That was the other thing. He had superhuman strength.
He had a future in boxing. Forget, you know,
Right.
working in a store. And
Right.
the other scene I'm going to get nitpicky about. He goes after these two bullies who stole a sled from these
Hugo's
two
fucking
kids.
slang at night, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we had learned nothing from Sonny Bono.
So one is coming down the hill, and he's moving so slowly that he has to push himself with his hands. Billy, the killer, jumps out from behind a bush, holds the axe up neck level, doesn't even swing it, decapitates him, the rest of the body keeps going down on the sled with the head rolling afterward. In order for that to be a clean cut, the sled would have been having to go about 40 miles an hour, just because that's doing all of the work. And otherwise, the body's going to get taken off the sled. I just found that odd.
And I mean, if you want to talk physics, though, nothing trumps the bullets.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, they were ice bullets that just disintegrated or melted in the body.
The cop shoots at a man standing right in front of a kid. Well, first of all, I mean, that was the first thing. I'm like, wait a minute, he's shooting at the dude in front of a kid.
Okay, we're rolling way ahead to the end of the movie.
Well, we're talking about physics here.
Yeah, okay. Well, I have some comments on that scene I'll get to.
He shoots at a guy standing in front of the kid. He's standing right in front of the kid, so the bullets somehow just stay right in the body. And it wasn't the only time that happened either. Like there were some gunplay where the guy dies, but the bullet never exits. They had the worst guns ever in this town.
In that same scene, okay, so they have this APB on Billy, or a guy in a killer in a Santa suit. How did they find out about him? Because everybody who saw him killing in the suit was killed, for one thing. But also, okay, back to the orphanage where he grew up.
Girl.
Didn't he kill her?
I don't think he killed the girl.
He didn't
The
kill
girl.
Pamela. She got away?
The young girl in the house of the
Oh,
old
well.
high school couple.
Okay, he didn't kill her.
She was babysitting for the girl, of course,
Right, and
on Christmas Eve, and
okay, maybe she called the cops. Okay.
she was good, and that's when they had the APB out on the guy in the Santa suit.
Okay, maybe it was her. Okay.
Yeah.
So the cops pull up to the orphanage where Billy grew up. They see a Santa approaching the kids. Now, understandable that they would think it maybe it's him and, stop, freeze, whatever. Except the cop, as he's walking around his car, says, "Hold on, hold on," not loudly enough for Santa to hear him, and then yells, "Get away from him," and shoots. Spoiler, it wasn't Billy.
You could see the twist coming from a mile away.
Yeah.
It was not a very well hidden
Well,
twist.
I thought it was him until the cop showed up and shot him. And then, no, it's not him.
Yeah, there's still too much time in this movie left.
But again, rolling back to the orphanage.
Yes.
Billy's parents get killed, he gets put in an orphanage, and the first sign of trouble was when he drew a Santa that had been decapitated and killed in all sorts of nasty ways. Now, okay, the kid's trying to express himself creatively. He's trying to,
Right.
get his trauma out through art. And they punish him for this.
Right.
If they had just let him do his thing, he probably would have, maybe wouldn't have exactly been healthy, but a couple years of therapy, he could have been okay.
Well, I think there's a lot of commentary in this. What's that?
Course, there wouldn't have been a movie.
Right. You get the feeling there's a lot of commentary on the in about things in this movie, which is what makes this movie so fucking weird.
Yeah.
It's supposed to just be a slasher film, but you get the feeling that the person that made this has a lot of hate for the holiday And for, Christianity in general,
Right.
and of course the Catholic upbringing.
Yep.
And I admit I'm not a fan of this time of year either,
Mm-hmm.
but this is taking it to a completely different level.
Yeah. Incidentally, Siskel and Ebert condemned the film and went so far as to read the film's production credits on air, saying "shame, shame" after each one. Siskel also said that all the money the filmmakers were making off the film was blood money. But Leonard Maltin also denounced the film, calling it a worthless splatter film, giving it 0 stars, and asking, "What's next? The Easter Bunny as a child molester?" I think we reviewed that movie.
I think we did too.
Easter Bunny Kill Kill, if I recall correctly. Which
Yes.
was way after this, so it didn't exist at the time, but yeah,
Yeah.
maybe someone saw that review and decided to make it.
Yeah. I think that's just senseless grandstanding, though, when
Oh,
you're,
yeah. Particularly the Siskel and Ebert, yeah.
Right. Come on.
Because this movie is notorious for the whole Killer Santa thing. And it not only wasn't as bad in terms of the gore and all of that as I was expecting,
Right.
it was actually a much better movie than I was expecting. Not necessarily good, but I was expecting, hideous. And it was
Yeah.
tolerable.
We've seen a lot worse.
Oh, yeah. Although there was a classic 80s montage, right when Billy first gets the job, with the cheesy synth pop.
Was the second funniest part of the movie.
Not funny for me. Y'all know how much I hate montages. I
I
just
think that's why I found it funny, because I just
cringing,
imagined you as I was watching it just grit.
yeah, pretty much.
Gotta have a bench.
It was exactly that.
Oh.
And okay, when he's working at the store, he's doing really well. He's kind of the model employee until they start pulling out the Christmas decorations.
Yeah.
And he sees one banner with a picture of Santa, and next he's a disciplinary problem.
Well, right.
And
They
his supervisor is yelling at him for no reason.
And how about that Joe Pesci
Yeah. Kind of a cross between Pesci and Piscopo, actually.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I was just thinking of Pesci, though, back in the day.
Yeah,
He was,
definitely.
definitely looked like that there. Yeah, I mean, he has a girlfriend and everything, kinda.
Yeah, well.
Turns out not so much.
And also, and this might have just been my copy, did the film stock start to randomly change at that point?
Well, you know what? At first, I thought it was a mistake, in the film. But no, that's when I started making the connection about, all about Eve,
Oh,
at the
right.
Psycho Beach Party. Like, when he started losing his shit, they did something to the stock to change it. That was the effect they decided to go with, I think.
See, when you explain that, I see it. At the time, it really didn't play, and that's a problem.
Right. Because, yeah, it took me a little while until like the second break happened. Then I was like, oh no, they are doing that.
And it really just goes kind of dark. It goes from almost a VHS look to a film look.
Right. They changed the stock just for about
The psychotic
a few
episodes.
seconds. Yeah. Yeah, so it's completely an All About Eve thing.
Wow. Oh, also speaking of problems, okay, there are 3 deaths right off the bat in the beginning, and then not another one until the second half.
And the mom's death, he slices her throat and she's dead instantly.
Yeah. No gasping, no bleeding,
No
no
coughing.
struggling, no.
Yeah, no, yeah, nothing. Just he slices the throat, she's done.
Yeah, well, a lot of the deaths were very convenient in that respect. I'm kind of reminded of Buffy. Joss decided to have the vampire bodies turn into dust when they were staked, so they didn't have a bunch of bodies sitting around at the end of the episode. I think it's a similar situation where they just wanted to get the kills out of the way and, one-shot kills.
Well, that's the weird part about this movie, though, is that it wasn't just trying to be a slasher movie. They were trying to do this whole psychological
Yeah,
study.
right.
I mean, the whole, like, first 20 something minutes is, I actually write my notes. Is this, the origin story, or is this the movie,
His parents are killed about 6 minutes in,
Right.
And literally the first half, it's about the 45-minute mark, 40, 45 minutes, when he goes on the killing spree.
Right.
Everything up to that point is just what sets him off.
Well,
And
then
what creates the problem?
before it gets to the present day,
Oh yeah.
so it's like it's pretty damn close to half an hour of being back in the early 70s, and you're kind of like, is this when the movie's taking place, or are we just hearing the origin story? And the fact that they go into this much of an origin story for a slasher movie, it's ridiculous. But yeah, there were a lot of points where I was getting bored at it, of course, and I.
Oh, also the nun, the one, the nice one, the younger one. How did she know he was killing people? Because she's suddenly with the cops. She calls the toy store, finds out that he had been, tasked with playing Santa Claus,
Right, and
and
she
gets
was worried about him.
concerned, understandably. But how does she know he started killing?
Well, didn't she go down to the store and then find the scene and then went to the cops?
Okay, that's possible. They don't establish that, but okay.
That's what I thought had happened. She made it down to the store, saw the scene, and then went to the cops.
Okay, maybe. I may just be forgetting about that scene. There's not a lot of this that I wanted to, go back and rewatch to make sure.
Rewatch? No, there's no need to rewatch this. Well, unless you're misty it.
Right.
If you've got a group of people and you're drinking, fucking beautiful. Anyway, where's my train here? Oh, we were sorely lacking a Freddy Krueger line.
Yeah, he needed a little more personality. It was really just punished every
Yes,
time he
that.
killed.
Can you believe that they were trying to put that as like the tagline? Punish.
Oh,
It was.
speaking of Freddy Krueger, this opened on the same weekend as Nightmare on Elm Street, the original.
I was gonna ask what relation.
It briefly outgrossed it by $161,800 before profits fell, and of course it was pulled out of theaters very early.
Well, because they probably opened it around Christmas, right?
Well, it got a lot of complaints, and PTA protested, and it was pulled out after a couple of weeks.
Oh, I remember that. I remember this big time.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it grossed 2 million, over 2 million, before getting pulled from theaters. And
But
which was still a success against its $75,000 budget, or $750,000 budget.
I think you hit it right there, though. He, just because you're mentally ill does not mean you're a zombie. I mean, I think that's what would be more offensive about this than anything about them, bashing religion
Right.
or Christmas, is what they do to the mentally ill in this
Yeah, well,
movie.
the religion and Christmas bashing was. At least the religion bashing was a bit subtle. It didn't really scream it. The Christmas bashing, it was a hook. But
Yeah.
yeah, because he was traumatized and not allowed to express himself, he's a serial killer.
And you pretty much can just flip a switch,
Yeah.
like
Oh,
as
yeah.
the ending, implies. If you just see something bad and you just turn into a zombie and just say, punish.
Even in Billy's case, he was a nice but troubled guy
Yeah.
until the girl he had a crush on hooked up with his supervisor who he didn't like.
They put him in a Santa suit. They put him full of alcohol. They told him he should be Santa. And he said, okay, I'm gonna punish.
And okay, normal human being maybe would deck the guy. Even as drunk as you are, even as traumatized as this guy is, you might, attempt to beat him up. You don't get an axe and kill him and
Well,
everyone else in the store.
it was probably the second most creative kill in this movie
True.
was his first kill
Yeah.
with the Christmas lights.
I was kind of hoping they'd all be Christmas themed at that point.
I was hoping that too, and then it lapsed into the whole Shining knockoff again. I mean, really, this is the Shining with a Santa suit. That's really all this is. He wields the axe, which, I mean, man, there's so many great Misty lines. Is that a hammer in your head? Are you happy to see me? I mean, there's so much shit to put
Oh
on that.
dear.
No,
Do you know the scene I'm talking about?
I was thinking for that, the Freddy Krueger line that you would deliver there would be, of course, "Nice rack."
Oh, perfect. Yeah, that's
Yeah.
better, much better.
It was an ant palement, a topless ant palement. I should copyright that somehow. Copyright Scott Massey,
19?
19. Oh, Christ. Long day.
And just one final bit of notes from me. The ending, the switch you were referring to.
Yes.
So Billy finally gets to the orphanage, and of course the cops are right behind him. He gets shot again, no exit wound. His little brother, still in the orphanage, sees this. And how much of an age difference was it between them? Because he was like 6 when his parents were killed,
So yeah, there's like
and the brother was an infant.
it's like 5, 6 years between them.
And yet Billy's 18 and the kid's still in the orphanage and looks about 8.
Right.
So, Billy gets killed in front of his little brother. And what did the kid say?
Punish.
Oh, yes. Oh, how could I forget? Quotes
Yes.
his exact line, like it's some kind of genetic thing. That he's just, contracted this serial killer illness from his brother. On to sequels and remakes.
On the sequels and remakes.
Because in early 2012, it was announced that a remake, simply titled Silent Night, was going into production. The film was directed by Stephen C. Miller and stars Malcolm McDowell, Jamie King, Donald Logue, Lisa Marie, and stuntman Rick Skeen as Ronald Jones Jr., the Killer Santa. It was released by Anchor Bay Entertainment in December of last year, so it's out there.
Wow. Oh, wow.
I think we have a Christmas movie for next year.
Maybe. We have a lot of Christmas movies now after that article I
Oh
found.
yeah, we've got quite a few. I think this would be the most fitting.
Yeah.
In November 2013, it was announced that for Fangoria, in association with Brainstorm Media and ScreenVision, would be re-releasing the film to theaters in the US throughout December 2013.
Wait, this?
Yes, the original. They're put
Why?
in theaters for this month. It apparently has gone on to have quite the reputation to build quite the cult following.
I have to agree. I mean, this is something to heckle.
Oh, absolutely. In a theater,
Oh
it'd be
my
great.
God, this will be so much fun to watch for, at like a holiday party, because it's just that bad. It's bad, it's fun.
On my own, even though I more or less enjoyed it, I'm probably never going to watch it again. But
Yeah, I wouldn't watch this again on my own.
in a theater, hell yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Think about
Point
the
taken.
comeback line potential. I mean, this could be the horror version of Rocky.
It really could. I was thinking that too, which is so bad.
This really has midnight movie potential now that you mention it.
Yeah, definitely. Just imagine people coming dressed up as nuns.
Oh wow. Nuns, of course, you've got your Santas. Um,
Nuns and Santas. Fucking brilliant.
I'm just thinking, someone dressed up as the mother with the bloodline around the neck and the top open.
Yeah.
All sorts of potential for costume.
Oh, definitely. I love the T focus of the camera too. It was really
Yes,
funny. Just tit level camera. It's
yes.
like I don't know how many different scenes.
Yeah. Well, there were only two. Well, no, three. The college girl, the girl he liked in the store, and the mother.
Yeah.
Kind of wish we still owned a movie theater now.
Yeah, it'd be pretty sweet.
Anyway, on to Brains.
On the brain. It's...
Much better than I thought it would be, although I did go in with sub-zero expectations. Not great, but not hard to watch. I'm going to have to go 2.5.
I'm pretty close with you. I'm going with the three because, well, just don't watch it on your own because you're kind of like, I've got these great fucking lines that I can't give it to anybody. But there were parts where I was bored though, so yeah,
Yeah.
nothing that
Oh, yeah.
high.
I considered a 3. I was kind of between the two.
Yeah.
And what have we learned?
Of course, when a kid sees his parents murdered in front of him, you can't cut him a fucking break. I also learned that somebody needed to be beaten a bit harder by the nuns.
I learned that the kids in that orphanage are really going to be seriously traumatized after seeing Santa killed twice in one
Twice.
day.
Come on. that you didn't see the religious bashing in this. They shot a fucking priest.
Oh yeah. I just figured they were making the screw up as bad as possible. Not just an innocent guy, but a priest.
Right. That was part of it too. But it was about the cruelty of the disciplinarians that the
Oh no,
nuns
I
are.
get the nun. I definitely got the nun bashing. One of my sponsors, just to, so the audience knows, is, nuns making troubled kids into serial killers since 1971. Anyway, until, well, 4 weeks from now, because we're taking a few weeks off for the holidays. When we'll be revealing The Thing and The Thing.
You said the thing twice.
Yes, the Carpenter classic and the re. Not a remake, but sequel, I guess it was. That came out last year, year before.
Yeah, you know what? I kept forgetting what the other version of the thing we were doing, since there's like four, what, three others?
Well, there were one or two
Two?
before The Carpenter. I think The
Okay.
Carpenter's the classic, and then there was
Yeah.
the sequel a couple years ago. Those are the two we'll be reviewing. First double feature we've done since Star Wars. This is gonna be interesting. We got 3 weeks to prepare for it, though.
Yes.
Until then, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course, the episode itself, which you're already listening to, links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. We really appreciate it. You also find the movie list, every movie we've reviewed so far, and every movie we're going to review. The request form, if you've got a movie you'd like to hear us review, please leave it on the request form. We'll get to it eventually. And of course, the recommendations list. Gotta admit, four did cross my mind briefly with this movie, I think just because my expectations were so low.
Oh, it was just, it would have been a four because of, for the awful factor. I had thought about going that high, but I was just too bored in too many parts.
You can also email us, zombietakeout@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-ZTO1, or for the alphanumerically challenged,
You can go fuck yourself.
414-368-9861. Of course, always remember that you will always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee. And until the new year, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.
Happy holidays.
Happy New Year.
I am not interested in what you think. I thought you finally understood that.
Fives will surprise, I think. I
Okay.
had to do a lot of thinking.
The bottom fives, you mean
No, the bottom fives are pretty
the
obvious,
top
although
five. The top
it's,
five, you mean?
yeah, because someone could not make it on the lifeboat. And I had to choose which
Oh,
one.
right.
I had six, five brain movies this year. And then I had four under two, and then I had to just decide upon one that a two that really just a really shitty two.
Really? You needed to work a two in there? Because I had, that's the lowest I had to go was four for my top.
I all my top fives were, I had six fives this year.
Oh, I did 10. You want to drop it down to five?
Oh, I thought we were doing five.
I said 10 last year, last week, but we can drop it down to five.
I don't know why I thought five. I mean,
Unless you can, you, I'll list off. You've already seen my list. I can list off the movies if you want to just put together the bottom set five right now.
I would just need, for the top five, I would just need another three. And for the bottom,
I have
for the
a.
top 10, I would need another three. I'd need
Okay.
to find another three.
Okay, you still have a top. You have a
Four.
top eight. That's interesting.
I could, yeah.
Okay.
I have like a couple honorable mentions in my top
Oh,
five,
okay.
so I easily
And
have.
what I said last week was it's a top 10 and a bottom five.
Oh, that's what it was.